A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
If you're a parent thinking of becoming one or just want to laugh at two new parents, here's a new podcast for you. It's called Josie and Johnny Are Having a Baby With You.
The show follows comedians Josie Long and Johnny Donahoe through their not totally planned pregnancy as they try to prepare for the birth of their first child. In each episode, they sit down with actors, writers, and entertainers who are also parents to help them figure things out. People like John Hodgman, Jane Marie, Eugene Merman, and Rachel Sklar.
Listen and subscribe to Josie and Johnny Are Having a Baby With You in your podcast app right now.
Hey guys, it's Candace.
And Kayla, and we are directionally challenged.
Yeah, we really thought that by the time we were in our 30s, we'd have it all figured out.
Oh, but guess what? We don't.
We don't?
Mm-mm.
God damn it.
I know.
You know who might?
Who?
Michael Trevino.
You guys, we are so excited about our guest today. We know you are too.
Okay, so we're a little bit late on the 10-year challenge. We know. Hashtag 10-year challenge. It was a few weeks ago. But you know what? It's still 2019. So we're just going to take all of 2019 is going to be a 10-year challenge. And it's perfect for this episode because we've known Michael Trevino for 10 years.
It's crazy to me to know someone that long.
Yeah, we started The Vampire Diaries. We filmed the pilot 10 years ago in 2009.
I would say he's done a lot of self-work too. I mean, just our interview with him, even just so he is a lot wiser than he was before and a lot more accepting of himself. And it seems like he's done a lot of self-work, which I think is the hardest work to do.
Yes. And which is why we started this podcast, so that you and I could do self-work.
And he mentioned he has more direction.
Yeah. I know, that's why we're having him on today.
I know.
So he can direct us.
He has so many good stories about Vampire Diaries and everything too. So we're really proud of him. He also started a new show, Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have heard about it. It's every Tuesday night on the CW.
So we just feel really proud of our friend and happy to have him here today.
We do have freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. So we're hoping the smell of chocolate chip cookies will just waft him over to the house. That's like the smoke signal.
I think it'll work.
For Michael Trevino.
I think it might work.
Yeah, I think so. So we have Trevino here today doing the 10-year challenge. Mm-hmm. But Kayla, let's do a 10-year challenge on you.
Love. What?
What do you remember about yourself 10 years ago? What do you think is something immediately that pops into your head about your appearance, your personality?
Well, you know, it's a little more serious for me. I was really lost about 10 years ago, right as we booked the Vampire Diaries pilot. I was going through a horrible breakup. I was really diagnosed depressed and really struggling. And I genuinely feel that this job brought me out of it and the people. And I really mean that because I met some of the best friends that I've made in my lifetime, and you guys all brought me out of that. So it was this crazy experience where I was so grateful to be a part of this show that everyone was talking about, but then I also was really struggling internally. And so I think for me, it was more a lot of who I was a facade in the very beginning, because I was really just trying to hang on. I think you have to support and surround yourself with good people. And that's what that job did. It instantly brought me to some of the closest friends, and you guys really helped me a lot and helped pull me out of that, even if you didn't know what was going on.
I mean, I know because we've been friends so long and we've talked about it, but at the time I would not have known. I just was like, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful. She's so fun. She likes blueberry Stoli and soda. And now I like blueberry Stoli and soda.
That was definitely a drink back in the day, for sure.
Yes. I wouldn't have known, but you're right. It's like everyone asks still to this day, like, oh my gosh, that job changed all of your lives. Professionally, absolutely. But on a personal front, I mean, that's where I felt the most impact.
How about you 10 years ago?
Oh my God, 10 years ago, I was so scared. I was so scared filming that pilot. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, they're going to know that I'm not supposed to be here. And I actually was told I wasn't supposed to be there.
What do you mean?
Day one of filming. Did you know this?
Wait,
I feel like
me.
We talked about it on maybe one of the other episodes, but I got in the van. So we were filming the pilot in Vancouver. And when you're filming on a pilot and you're not living there full time, they usually have transportation service that will take you from the hotel to set so you can go to film. Because obviously they're not going to provide you with a car. And they have a lot of actors go to work at the same time. So it makes this process much easier and cleaner. Well, I was the first one downstairs because I'm obsessed with being on time. And I got into the van, I got in the front seat, and I was so excited. It was my first day. And I was like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm so excited. And the guy was like, you can't sit there. And I was like, what? Oh, is there? And he's like, yeah, you have to sit in the back. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Is this for like someone else? He's like, well, it's not your show. So, you're not the star of the show, so you have to sit back there. And I was like, oh, okay. Ugh. And I've never been more mortified. And I just was like, oh my God, like, is this a thing? Like, I've never been on a pilot or a set before. And I was like, is this the hierarchy all of a sudden?
And well, there's a nicer way to say
it. There was a much nicer way to say it. And I remember asking, like, he was saving the seat for Nina. And I asked Nina later on, like, hey, I just want to say, I'm really sorry if, like, I sat in your seat. Like, I don't know, do you get car sick or something? Because usually people have to sit in the front if they're getting car sick. And she was like, what? No, like, I'm not sitting in that seat ever again. I'm only sitting in the back seat. That's ridiculous. And I was like, okay, I'm not crazy. Like, we've got each other's backs, and this is going to be a fun ride. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was just so wide-eyed and so insecure.
I think a lot of people in their young 20s are scared, right? I mean, I would say all of us probably relate to that.
10-year challenge, do you feel like you're still scared now, or is it a different
Oh, I just accept myself so much more for who I am. I would say my flaws are still exactly the same, but I have a sense of self-love that I didn't have before.
Yeah.
And a sense of acceptance. Not saying it's not really hard, especially with what we do, to compare and to feel like you want to be perfect. But I think the older you get, the more you just accept yourself and love yourself for who you are. Hopefully 10 years from now, I'll still feel that way. We'll see. How about you?
I'm working on it. I'm getting there. I feel like 2019 might be my year where I start to calm down a little bit on being so anxious in social situations. I'm trying one day at a time.
I think you've done a lot of self-growth from the show ending and now moving to LA. A lot has changed and I've seen you really grow a lot. Thanks. And learn, because life has thrown you a lot of curveballs since you moved here and you've handled them really well. And I think you should just acknowledge yourself for that.
Well, thanks. You know what, Kayla?
What?
You're awesome. Like Diane Keaton.
Oh, don't make me cry.
I love you. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back,
Michael Trevino.
Direction Challenge.
I'm so fucking nervous.
Why are you nervous?
I'm nervous because I don't want to ramble, and I don't also want to give one-word answers, and okay. I also don't want to dig myself into a hole of wanting to say something that I didn't mean to say, but then I say it.
Ooh. Well, we'll just delete it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I get
it. But I like all this. I think this should all be in it. I think this is the perfect introduction.
This, you know,
to the mind of Michael Trevino.
You're gonna get lost.
Well, if you guys haven't guessed already, guess who we have on as our guest today?
Yay!
We're so excited to have our friend and fellow castmate, Michael Trevino.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. I got to say, before we begin, I guess we have already begun, I'm very happy to be here and I'm really proud of the both of you. I know that you guys, this was an idea in the past and you guys got together and, you know, a project like this in this space, it's difficult and it's not easy and it takes a lot of hard work and dedication. And I'm really, really proud of the both of you.
Thank you.
And I am excited to be here. And that's the truth, because full disclosure, I was invited to be here months ago. I think way at the beginning stages of this beautiful podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll be there. Yeah, I'm here. I'm your guy. Mm-hmm. And you guys circled back and you said, Michael, are you available? Can you come in and hop on the show? And I bailed.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
We might have been mad at you.
I know. I was wondering. I was like, are you buttering us up right now?
No,
so it'll be extra nice
I just, that's, you know, this is recording and I want the people to know that I did bail and I apologize, but that's what I am excited to be here.
That's admirable. Thank you. I think that's only fair to a 10-year friendship.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. 10 years.
10 years.
10 years. A decade.
Man.
The only other thing that survives 10 years is like McDonald's fries. They never go bad. Just like our friendship.
Oh my God. They taste the same.
They
over
taste
time.
The
yeah.
same. Just like yeah. our friendship.
We're all here. We're still
we're all here.
Here. We're still here.
Just
guys.
Like a box of McDonald's fries.
We're still here.
We're not sponsored by them, by the way.
They sound delicious right now, though.
So I want to know, the very first time, Trevino, the very first time you met Candace, what was your impression of her?
I love this question.
My first impression of Candace.
At the screen test, I think.
We all auditioned together.
Yeah, we were all in the hallway getting ready to test, and each role had like three or four people. I sat right next to you.
Yeah.
Kayla, you were to my right. And then I remember Kat Graham was in front of me across the hall.
With her little beret. She
yes,
wore the cutest
the
beret.
Yeah, she looked super cute. As always, she's always styling.
Yeah.
And then and Zach Rohrig was doing push-ups.
In the hallway.
In the hallway around the corner. And I was like, who's this guy? Jesus.
Totally.
Candace was always just very bubbly and energetic and smiling, and which it was always just really infectious. I remember that. And I was like, oh, how can this girl? She's definitely going to book this.
Aw, that's very nice of you. It was the girl that I was auditioning against had brown hair and I had blonde hair. So I just figured it was going to be more like which hair color they were wanting. But thank you. I'm glad that you thought because of my bubbly personality.
I did. I was like, oh my goodness, she's gonna book this.
Well, I thought you hated me the very first time that we met, because we tested individually and then they brought our two characters in together. You should see the face he's making cringing right now. They brought our two characters in together to test. And then so Trevino and I are in the test at the CW. We walk out and I'm like, that went great. He's like, you missed this line.
Wait,
and
whoa.
He's like, yes.
I didn't know. I was panicking because I thought we had both missed a couple lines. I wasn't pointing a finger. I wasn't putting blame, but I walked out of there in a panic. Like, I think we totally missed a section.
That's so funny because I was like, that was amazing. So
you did come out really confident, and I was like, no, that went terrible. Yeah.
That was the first, I was like, oh, whoever this dude is, he hates me. I'll probably never see him again, but he hates me.
Cut to, we all got the job.
We did.
When did you get to Vancouver? Because Kayla, Kat, and I were on the same flight.
I was on the flight with Julie Plec, and I think Kevin Williamson was on the flight, and so was Zach. And Zach was carrying his snowboard, a big snowboard bag, ready to shred. And I was on the flight reading the books of Vampire Diaries. Like,
I'm so happy you brought this up because Candace and I were preparing for your interview.
Okay,
and I said how impressed I was with you that you had read all the Vampire Diaries books while we were shooting the pilot, and how we would have questions and you would know the answers. Well, in the book, this happens,
and I was like, I was so impressed.
Yeah, no, it was true. Yeah. Well, I was all in at the time. I was all in.
I just think that's incredible because also you live a lifestyle that's really fun, but you also take your job so seriously. Mm. And I've always admired how you have such a good balance of that.
Oh, thank
even
you.
From the beginning when we first met you. And I just, Candace did not believe me in the beginning when we were there.
I was like, no, Trevino did not read all the vampires.
Well, look, I wouldn't say I read
or
them
just
all,
a
but
vampire,
I read,
even just
I,
one.
I definitely read the first one and was, you know, figuring like, okay, if we're going to get into this world, let me figure out what this is about and who these characters are to one another. But on that flight, towards the end of the flight, I remember Julie Plec, she leaned over and she's like, you don't need to read that. She's like, we're not really going to stick to that. And I was like, okay. No, I just, you know, I'm just trying to, you know.
I'm just doing my homework.
I'm just, you know, just you want to be fully prepared. And, you know.
I know how to read.
I see this.
I read books.
I read books. This is my prep work. Yeah.
What was your reaction when you got Vampire Diaries? Because how long had you been an actor at that point?
So Vampire Diaries was what, 2009? Or when we premiered,
yeah.
I believe it was 2009.
10 years ago.
I think I joined the Screen Actors Guild in 2005.
Your first job was a Disney job, wasn't it?
A few years. First...
A Disney movie?
Well, the first job that was... substantial enough for my parents where I was like, I'm not going to be going back to college and enrolling, was a Disney Channel movie of the week. Yeah. And it was because it was real. It was like, oh, you're flying out to Toronto and they're flying you first class and they're giving you per diem for a month and a half. And I'm like, yep. And I was 19 at the time. And that was just like, that was it. That was just crazy and amazing. And
so you grew up in LA County,
yes.
Montebello specifically, right?
Yes. Grew up in Montebello. Mm-hmm.
What is it like to come from there and tell your family that you want to be an actor? Were they on board from the beginning or?
I think they were very surprised because I didn't do any theater or anything like that in high school. I wasn't a child actor. I think just right after graduating high school, I did 1 year at Pasadena City College. And it was in that year that I had a little self-awareness and I knew that I wasn't utilizing my talents and my skills and I wasn't dedicated. I wasn't focused. I was still very high school, very immature. I wasn't using the most of my time. My first year of junior college. And I said, here, this is what I want to do. Let me try this. Let me attack this dream. And I was like, I made a deal with them to take a year off of school to pursue acting and try and get an agent and a manager and get into classes. And they were supportive. They were really supportive, but because the deal was, okay, you have 1 year.
Yeah, that's
and so I think they were supportive because they were like, not that they didn't believe, but they were like,
but
okay,
there's
an end date to this. Mm-hmm. And so that, yeah, since day one, they've always been supportive. And
So within a year, you had gotten a manager agent and then booked a job?
Within that year, I had my agent, signed with an agent. I didn't have a manager at the time, but I signed with an agent and I was getting into acting classes. And I think what made me SAG at the time, what made me join the union was I booked this Old Navy commercial. Do you remember those Old Navy commercial, like the performance fleece holiday commercials that we get every year?
Of course.
So I did one of those for the Spanish market.
Yes.
And I don't know where that footage is, but
I forget. Do you actually speak Spanish?
Not fluently.
Okay.
Not fluently. But
I just remember back in the day, that was one of your flirting techniques. Never with me. I was always wing girl. I just want to make it very clear. Trevino's like my brother.
What, one of my flirting techniques was to speak Spanish to the ladies?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But not completely. Just a few phrases that you threw out.
Either a few phrases or ordering food. Yeah. 100%.
So the only Spanish you know are pickup lines.
Pickup lines and ordering food. Yeah. Yes, that's it.
Pickup lines, pickup orders.
There you go. Exactly.
That's amazing.
So you start working.
Yes.
You're in LA. Was Vampire Diaries the first pilot that you booked?
There was a series that I did for CBS called Kane that lasted 1 year. And this was during the writer's strike. So this was, I don't know.
That's
the
impressive.
Year.
No, that would have been 07, 08.
Yeah, 07, 08. And we did one full year or one full season, but the writer's strike hit. And I don't think we were going to get picked up for a second season. But that was my first time being on a series and doing like, okay, this is a pilot and series, 22 episodes. And that shot here in Los Angeles. And that was an amazing experience with, you know, at the time, just I was on set learning from Jimmy Smits and Rita Moreno and Hector Elizondo, just these veterans in this industry and just like having a blast, really. It was pretty amazing.
So you go from veterans of the industry to the hooligans of the industry.
Oh, yes, and quickly became one of, if not the hooligan, yes, when our time on the CW started.
Do you have a favorite memory? Is there one thing that sticks out throughout the entire experience?
The whole experience?
Well, the pilot? Man, the whole experience.
Sure. The pilot's still my favorite.
Shooting the pilot was fun. It was a lot of fun. And I think it was a lot of fun more so just from having the job and us getting to know one another was that Kevin Williamson and Julie Plec really, you know, brought us all together. Like we would all have dinner together every night. They'd take care of it. We'd have a night out and have some fun. And
we'd end up on the side of the road singing Oasis songs.
Yes, we'd let loose a little bit.
I definitely have that video.
I don't know if we need to play it.
It is amazing.
There was a party bus involved.
There was a party bus one night.
In Vancouver. And so, that was a lot of fun. And we were all just...
We
went up to Whistler, yes. And have you seen these photos on Instagram at the moment? They're of two photos from that Whistler trip that are in circulation and they keep popping up on my leg.
We released them on this podcast.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Well, you know what?
Clearly you listen to every episode.
We look fantastic.
We've really never looked better
We've never looked better in those photos.
I think they encapsulate youth, really. It's really like an artistic like perspective of youth the photos.
That is one way to put it.
We're very shiny and our eyes look very tired. But we made breakfast.
We did. We were still a unit, still a team.
We celebrated Easter together while we shot the pilot. We went up to Whistler together. And for those of you who haven't seen the photos, we can put them up again. But we all just look like the young versions of ourselves. I think Zach has his shirt off cooking breakfast.
For sure.
You know, normal.
We talked about it a few episodes ago. So if you want to listen back. Yeah. But that was a really special time, and I think it set the bar for the experience that we were going to have once we got to Atlanta to start filming, because I had never been on a pilot or a show ever, so I assumed, oh, this is just how it always is, and I still have that assumption.
Yeah,
but I guess it's not. That was really special. And did you, once you were moving to Atlanta, what did your family say? What did your friends say? What were you feeling?
Ooh, I felt really excited because it was Kevin Williamson. And I remember at that time it was like, oh, wow, Dawson's Creek and these Scream movies. And there was a lot of buzz around vampires at the time because of, I think, Twilight had just True Blood. And so everybody had talked about this pilot, and the fact that we all booked it and were a part of it was really exciting because we had a great feeling for it. And I also remember this was, how many years did we air after Gossip Girl?
Gossip Girl was on its way out. It was like starting, I think it was still going.
Okay.
But we were definitely like, this was a new big show for the CW.
Yes, and it had as much buzz as Gossip Girl for the time. And so knowing that, I just felt really, really lucky and grateful and just really excited. Excited like, oh man, here comes the fame and fortune. Yeah.
So what's it like to go back to Montebello now? Now that you have had all this success and now that you have... Did people treat you differently? Does your family treat you differently?
Oh, no. No, not at all. Not at all. No, I mean, that's... And that's what family's for, you know, still going, you know, have family in Montebello, Alhambra, Boyle Heights, and they're all around. And I'm lucky enough, having grown up in Los Angeles, that my family's all around and I see them for the holidays and I see them often, really. Mm.
Do people call you Michael? Because we all call you Trevino. And so it always feels weird coming out of my mouth when I'm like, hey, Michael?
Michael, yeah,
feels
no.
Feels very formal.
No, Trevino.
Does your family call you Trevino or do they call you Michael?
No, my family, they call me Michael. Okay. My father calls me Magoo.
Okay.
And yeah. Friends everywhere, ever since high school, it's Trevino because there were just so many Michaels around, mm-hmm. and such a common name. And I think because I played sports all 4 years of high school, everybody went by their last name, and so Trevino just stuck.
What sport did you play?
Golf.
Football.
Football.
So you were the only one that knew how to play football at the football episode for Vampire Diaries.
Yes, it was Zach knew how to play as well, but Paul did not. Love you, Paul Wesley, but you cannot catch a football to save your life. So that was a long day.
I didn't know that he didn't know how to play. Was he just like...
No, he knew how to play, but it's like he just had problems catching the football.
Are they bad?
And then, okay. But look, we all know Paul, and he was just like, you got to throw it. You got to throw it.
Because it's not how he's catching the ball, it's how you're throwing it.
It's not Butterfingers, it's how you're throwing it. So he just wasn't throwing the proper spiral to get right into the diamond of Paul West's hands. Yeah.
That's amazing.
When did you know when we were in Atlanta? Because I think the females and the males had a very different experience when it came to fame and notoriety. Mm-hmm. So... Like, I couldn't, like, go to the bar and be like, hey, dude, what's up? I'm an actress on a show. Want to go on a date? Like, there's no, like, cool way to do that for a lady. Uh-huh. And dudes weren't like, hey, I've seen you on the CW. Like, when did you realize, like, oh, my gosh, I'm, like, there's a level of celebrity? Because we were all in it together, and there were not a lot of other shows filming in Atlanta.
No, there was
so we
nothing.
Were, like, fish out of water, and we were in our own little bubble. Like, honestly, I kept forgetting that we were on TV because we didn't live the lifestyle of, like, actors in Hollywood going to award shows and red carpets. Like, we were just out, like, having a great time at the local bar in Atlanta.
Yeah, and that was a lot of fun, but we were in Atlanta 9 months out of the year. And there wasn't any other productions going on at the time. I think there was only one other show, and it was Drop Dead Diva. Mm-hmm. And I mean, now it's everything is shooting in Atlanta. But we, for me, I think it wasn't until after the first season and the fan conventions started happening.
Yeah.
And so in traveling to, you know, Australia and Europe, and just seeing how far Vampire Diaries went and how engaged fans were around the world, that was crazy for me, realizing like the impact that the show had and, you know, traveling to places and arriving at airports and being recognized there was a trip because I never got recognized in Los Angeles or Atlanta. So it wasn't until we were traveling.
I just feel like girls would always come up to you guys and like take your hats. I felt like that was a very popular, like that's when I thought would like, oh, yep, they're getting recognized. They're famous now. All these girls are taking their hats.
They're taking the hats and they just come in ready for the selfie. Yeah. It was all happening. And
it all happened really quickly.
It did. And then like that was just normal.
Yeah.
That was just how it was. And how could that not affect you though?
I know.
You know, how could that not go to your head?
And for the listeners, like, fan conventions are basically, it's appearances where we've been so lucky to be able to travel the world and go a lot and meet a lot of people and take photos and sign things and do Q&A panels for fans of The Vampire Diaries. Mm-hmm. So if anyone's wondering what...
But I think that's why everyone stayed so humble, because... Being in Atlanta was unlike shooting anywhere else. You guys were in your own bubble. You weren't always going to, you know, every event and every gifting suite and every like red carpet and everything. It just felt normal. And so everyone somewhat stayed themselves. Of course you change as you grow and experience life, but there's a lot of humility that remained that I have seen. So I think it's really endearing.
I just felt like we were living the pilot for like a whole year. And filming the pilot was such a special time for all of us. And we bonded and we were inseparable. I mean, even when we came home from that, we all had dinners and barbecues. It never stopped. Mm-hmm. I mean, even like Kayla, we talked about her big birthday party where even though I wasn't there, I was there in spirit.
Mm.
We also the stripper? Released-
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
What and were the, your the thoughts cops? when a cop stripper showed up?
Look, I didn't plan any of that. I had just come to party and I was caught up to speed on what was going to happen. I said, is this really happening? And I was just along for the ride. I guess at that point I was like, all right, let's see how this plays out.
We have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. When was the last time you ate a breakfast that you felt good about? Not a bowl of sugary cereal, but like a breakfast that's nourishing to your body. Now you can transform your breakfast with Daily Harvest.
Daily Harvest delivers carefully sourced, chef-crafted smoothies, savory bowls, overnight oats, and more, built on fruits and vegetables. Everything stays fresh in your freezer until you're ready to eat it.
Choose from more than 50 nourishing options for any time of day. Ready to blend smoothies, savory harvest bowls, soups, and more. Just add water or milk to a smoothie or heat up a harvest bowl and enjoy.
All of Daily Harvest's ingredients are carefully sourced for maximum nourishment and flavor. You can actually see all of the ingredients when you open up the cup. Daily Harvest is the easiest, most delicious way to load up on fruits and vegetables any time of day.
Okay, so I had a tricky time being able to enjoy all of my Daily Harvest because the kids and my husband kept eating it all. Every time I'd come downstairs, they were making another smoothie.
That's amazing. I know. Their green smoothie is my jam. It was so good. It's there's so many nutrients packed, but it also tastes really good.
It tastes good. It's healthy for you. And I, with such a big family in this house, it's so nice to know that everyone else can enjoy it too. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code CHALLENGED to get 3 cups free in your first box. That's promo code CHALLENGED with a D for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com.
Daily-harvest.com.
And we're back. You guys worked so much together the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was really fun. It's so cool to have come full circle and have you be so close with my husband and like yes. have everyone be friends. And like, it's just cool to have remained friends for so long, you know, yes. all of us and grow together. It's really a strange, awesome feeling.
I've thought about that. I've had a lot of time to reflect lately on, you know, it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Social media wasn't as huge when Vampire Diaries started mm-hmm. 10 years ago and now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Oh, thank God.
There's a lot of negative to it, but the positive is you get to see what your friends are up to and get to communicate through that medium. But we're all doing really well. And I love that we genuinely hang out outside of work and events.
So, question for you. You did season one of Vampire and season one of the CW's new show, Roswell, which we're so proud of.
That's correct. I am the CW's Michael Trevino.
Yes,
that's
me.
That is me.
Do you have business cards yet?
Yeah. No. But my posters are all over the offices of CW and Warner Brothers Television.
Yes. So what is the difference between being 24-year-old Michael on the Vampire Diaries and now being 34-year-old Michael on a season one of a brand new show? What's the difference between the two people?
How much time do we have? The difference between, well, here's the thing. It's been 10 years. There's a lot of growth. I've like to think that I've matured as a human being. I'd like to think that I'm becoming more responsible and more self-aware. And I just have more direction. Like, I see the goals that I have, but I'm working towards them and to be mindful of that as much as I can possibly be. And so I think with this new series in a first season, and a lot of similarities because we're shooting out in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and there's up some other productions, but not much. In Santa Fe, I wouldn't say it's a city, it's a small little town, but I have the same memories of going out to Atlanta for the first time and starting Vampire Diaries and being excited about a new job. And I felt the same way 5 months ago when we started this first season of Roswell, New Mexico. And
you guys are pretty bonded, aren't you?
The cast is great. And I thought about it because it's not to say that it's rare, but sometimes it doesn't work out. Not everybody gets along, but everybody gets along in this cast and everybody has a lot of love for one another and wants to support one another genuinely, authentically, professionally and personally. And I feel that we've just been doing some great work out there in the past 5 months.
That's awesome.
Now, 10 years ago, we did something really nice for your birthday. Mm. I don't know if you remember.
10 years ago, season one.
Vampire Diaries. We were really kind to you on your birthday and decorated your trailer really special.
We didn't even have the dressing rooms.
We had trailers in a parking lot.
We had trailers in like a, dirt, like nasty parking lot in the corner. Yes. 10 years ago. I'm trying to remember what I did 10 days ago.
We decorated your trailer with a lot of pictures of ladies.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry. yes. Did you spearhead this operation?
I probably did.
I think
sounds,
you did.
Feels like she might have.
Yeah, strippers, lady pictures.
Yeah. I do remember now.
Not that I'm jealous of like the new cast of Roswell, whatever, but did they put any lady pictures around your apartment for your birthday? Or what have they done for your birthday?
Well,
I'm just wondering 10 years later.
We wrapped just before my birthday, but I'd like to think that, you know what? I think they would have gifted me with a lot of cookies and dark chocolate. I think that's what they probably would have filled my trailer up with if we were still in Santa Fe. But 10 years ago, yes, my trailer was filled with many photos of women. That Candace's idea, really funny.
Why did you do that? Sexual theme season.
Yeah, there was, yes, very much so.
I think Candace always likes the shock factor. It's whatever will shock someone.
Yeah,
is fantastic.
Yeah, and now I'm just like throwing Christmas parties in the house. Things have changed a little bit. It's a different shock factor.
Look, it's all evolution, right? We're all growing,
But what's
changing.
Not changed is the chocolate chip cookies. I do appreciate. So no, Michael Trevino has a deep, deep, deep love for chocolate chip cookies.
I do.
Like, if you ever make him upset, just bring him chocolate chip cookies, and it'll definitely soften.
It hasn't gone away.
Yeah.
It hasn't gone away.
I don't think it ever will.
No. And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with it.
I have a question about Roswell and your character. Because Kyle Valenti is a character that was on the original Roswell show, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you, because we all know you love your preparation.
Such a professional.
Did you watch the old show and base your character off of him, or did you decide to create a whole new character?
I decided to create a whole new character. I didn't watch any of the original series. I remember when it was on back in the day, but I decided with this, and speaking with our showrunner, Karina, that we weren't really going to stick to what they did. We were going to take these characters and tell our own story. I didn't watch any of the episodes.
I was just curious.
No.
Did you ever watch any of the WB shows? Excuse me. Like Dawson's Creek, Felicity,
Dawson's Creek. Yeah, I think there was a time where I checked out a few episodes of that. But nothing that I was so, like, that I've seen every episode of that I was so...
You know. Looking back on Vampire, what advice would you give 24-year-old Michael?
What advice would I give 24-year-old Michael? I would tell him to relax, to trust his instincts, support those around him, and to just breathe. Mm. Yeah. That's, I know that sounds so simple, but it's like, I think... to just breathe, it brings you back to being as present as you can be. And 24-year-old Michael was all over the place at one time, trying to be present, but thinking about 100 things at once. And so that's why when I say just breathe, just like, just relax, man. It's going to be okay. Just trust yourself.
But I feel like your 20s are so, like, it's like endless opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
And then also this feeling like I have to accomplish everything right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, even getting the job, like when we all got the job, I wasn't thinking like, okay, well, what is the long-term plan of how I'm going to like use this opportunity to benefit myself in the future? I was just like, fuck yeah, I got a job.
Exactly.
Let's go party.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happens. And I think about that and you have to go through that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to go through that stage, and hopefully, you know, with some people it lasts longer than others, but you got to go through that. And, but it's, you have to check yourself too. You know, like I wish I was able to at that time. I don't want to say reckless, because again, it's just, you're on a successful show, you're making some money, you're enjoying life,
you just enjoyed.
You're traveling, but yeah, to not be as reckless. You're 24 and you're on a hit series and you're making money and you think for me, you think you're invincible. You think you're untouchable. You've got it all figured out finally at 24. And I'm 34 now and I'm still barely scratching the surface on how I feel about life and how I'm living life. But looking back at 24, I thought I had it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I knew exactly what I was doing every day and that like nobody can tell me different. And that's okay. That's fine. You know,
do you ever, I like now in my 30s on nights that I can't sleep, all of a sudden like random moments from my 20s will like pop into my brain of like an older, wiser person who was trying to be really patient with me and like, okay, nope, that's not realistic. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that's not the tone in which you would want to speak to that person. Or maybe you should rethink that email. And I'm just like, God, I can't go back and undo that. I just have to accept the choices that I made at that time and grow and learn from them right now. But it's bugging me and I can't sleep.
But I wonder if we will always feel that in life, no matter what age we are. Hmm. We could be 50 going back to our 40s thinking, wait, oh, I wish I would have done that differently or done, you know, I wonder if that ever ends.
Not me. I'll have it all figured out.
You're on your way.
I'm on the way.
You're on your way. Yeah. You know, it's hard to, you know, life is about choices and, you know, you're told that it's for me such a young age and you're like, it is, but life is about choices and really be conscious and aware of the ones that you are making. And I feel like right now at 34, I'm trying to do that. And it's not easy for me. It's just not easy.
So speaking of choices, what made you choose the name Willis?
Oh yes.
For your head vein.
For my head vein. This is funny. I was speaking with some friends about this, last night, actually. Yes. So,
now we're all staring at your forehead.
I have, for those listening,
could you please describe Willis slowly?
So as he protrudes out of my vein, I have this very pronounced vein on my forehead that has been a part of me for all of my life.
You haven't noticed it. Now it's all you'll see.
And yeah. I know everybody's going to like, well, God, I got to check out that forehead. And so I'm very self-conscious of it, insecure about it. But my buddy, Garrett Medina, who I've known since high school. I've known him since third grade. But in high school, my buddy Garrett Medina had zits on his nose. Mm-hmm. And this was around sophomore year in high school. And it wasn't just like one zit. It was one zit with like probably 20 zits around it. And this lasted for about 2 years during high school. And it was bad. They stayed there. They never went away. And it was just that. He didn't have acne. It was just right here, right on the nose. And I remember he named what he had on his nose, Willis. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know why he named it Willis. I needed to ask him about that actually, but he named it Willis. And so, I guess I became more aware of the vein on my forehead when I got into this business and started, you know, performing looking at myself on television, being like, whoa, what is that guy? Hold on a second. Hey, hi there. And so I gave him the name Willis. And so, to this day, yeah.
Everyone who knows Trevino knows Willis.
Everybody knows me, yes, knows Willis. Absolutely.
Were you cool in high school?
Was I cool in high school?
Because you're so cool to us.
Really?
I'm sorry. He played football and has that face. Of course you were cool.
I got to tell
you. Did you walk around with your shirt off all the time?
No. I got to tell you, I don't know. I wasn't as popular as some other kids.
Who was like the most popular? I always love it because it's like a good double name.
Wow. Who is the most popular? God, I don't know why he comes in high school. Who was the most popular? Only because he was the quarterback. There's this guy, Richard Reyes.
Richie? That's a great name.
Yeah, Richard Reyes. He was the quarterback. He was in my class and he, you know, we played football for years and he was the quarterback. But he was a stud. And
what's Richard doing now?
I don't know what Richard is doing, although I do follow him on Instagram. You know, he's got a family. I think he's not sure exactly where he's living, but just living life. Yeah, he's doing well. Here's the thing, because him and I are diehard Oakland Raider fans. So last time I saw him was when the Raiders played San Diego Chargers back in San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers when they were at San Diego, and ran into him there.
Did you take your shirt off?
We
be like, hey, man, who's the quarterback now?
No, we were both just wearing our silver and black, you know, representing the Raider Nation.
ours was Bobby Good.
Bobby Good?
Quarterback, Bobby
See,
Good.
It's the quarterbacks.
That's good.
It's,
okay, our quarterback was Jeff Klein. Like Calvin Klein. Like a Calvin Klein model. It was ridiculous.
This is in Seal Beach?
Yeah.
Stud, huh?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, and now look who's laughing, because now you're Mr. CW, Network.
I'm Mr. CW, Warner Brothers Television, Michael Trevino. That's me. That is me. Been with them for about a decade now.
So some little birdies told us that you've been shadowing a lot on Roswell, and you're looking to possibly direct.
I am. I'd like to. It's, again, with being, I'm very lucky right now and grateful for this opportunity, because it's with people that I've worked with before and on a network and studio that I've been worked with. And so I have access.
Because Julie Plec directed the pilot and she was writer, creator, directed many of our episodes, producer. Karina, we've known also for a decade, Karina McKenzie,
yes,
who created Roswell or the reboot of Roswell. Mm-hmm. And she was started off in as a reporter and would come down and interview us in Atlanta. And also tons of the people that were on the Vampire set are now working.
A lot of the same crew.
On the Roswell set.
Everybody's kind of up their game a bit, and everybody's just has advanced in their careers. And so with that, I knew I have this opportunity here. I'm on this series, and I'm not the lead of this show, so I'm going to have more free time. What can I do to make the most of it? And it was just to stay on set and learn how this machine really works, you know? And so I was paying attention to lighting, paying attention to electricians, and seeing how everything worked on every day. And it was really just by being like by osmosis, just being there. You know, I wasn't really asking questions or pulling people aside. I was just there. And I learned so much in the past 5 months, really, on what it takes to just produce an 1 hour episodic television.
Yeah.
And it's a lot, but I've been shadowing these directors and they're guest directors that I've worked with because I've done an episode for them on Vampire Diaries. So it's been really seamless to just say, hey, how are you? Hey, I'm going to be around and hanging out. And so I've just been in Video Village The whole time.
That's just so cool. New chapter creatively.
Yeah, very much so. Awesome. Yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan right now. And so I'm just attacking that.
Is it also nice everyone on Roswell is a little bit older? Like, as a cast, everyone's in their late 20s, early 30s for the most part, right?
Yeah, I thought about that because I remember taking it back to Vampire Diaries. Like, you know, we were young and there was...
We were real young.
Really young and there's...
I think the youngest was 20, right?
How old was Nina? Stephen was 20.
And how old was Stephen McQueen?
McQueen was like 19.
Yeah. 19, and we're all, you know, young and there's... You know, some ego and there's some drama. We're kids, you know? And so with this, I knew, I was wondering, I was like, okay, who's going to be the wild card here? Like, where I've been through this before. I'm going to hang back and just let it happen. Let it unfold.
You've always done that. You've always been like quiet and assessed a situation first.
Yeah.
And then kind of like inserted yourself.
Yes. I just wanted to. And that's what I did. Yeah. And nobody popped up. There were no red flags. Everybody was just excited to work and was ready and prepared and that's where we're at right now.
You're still only on season one, though.
This is very true.
We'll see where it goes.
These are the facts.
You got to get to season three.
It was just season one at 13 episodes. Yeah. You know, I was like, try 22, you know, then see what happens.
It's just everyone gets a little bit more comfortable. The show's doing well. And, you know, it's just what's new and exciting season one. It becomes the day-to-day business of season three.
I think it also starts to feel a little bit like siblings, right? So there's like not necessarily, you're just a little bit more comfortable and then you're a little more truthful with people, right? When you're comfortable with them. So I think things pop up that wouldn't usually pop up.
It's like if you watch like any reality show of like a group of strangers in a house together, day one, everyone's doing great. And then in the middle of the season, it's crazy because everyone's very comfortable with each other. And then by the end, everyone's like, God, I love you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're a family.
Yes.
And I feel like that's kind of like working on network television when you're in your early 20s and you're all like on a show that goes from 0 to 60 overnight.
And no one really had any other responsibility. I mean, I think when you're in your 30s, some people are married or some people have babies or whatever. But when you're 20, your entire life is this show that you're on. So these people you're with are your priority. Yourself is your priority.
Oh, yourself. You're the most important. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's just, it is different. So yeah, we wanted to know the difference between Roswell.
I do feel good about this cast. Like we really care about the work and we're just really present. And again, very lucky that we're out in Santa Fe. You know, if we were in a major city, who knows, there might be a bit more distraction. But, you know, what I really love about our show too is mainly the scenes where they're exterior shots showing the landscape of New Mexico. Cause I just like to remind the audience that watches the show that that's where we're at, you know, because it's got a character of its own. And Santa Fe is magical. There's something out there. I'm really
those sunsets, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful out there, and I'm really enjoying my time out there.
That's great. So, do we know if you guys are picked up, or when will we know? I'm sure listeners
begging. We should know soon. I mean, tonight airs the third episode. I'd give it a few more episodes, but so far, I know that the network is happy, and I would say that I'd be surprised if we did not get picked up for season two.
I
would be really surprised.
Good.
Well, I think it's fun. I think the reality is we were all in our 20s thinking that we had it all figured out. Considering that this is the 10-year challenge episode, because we've all known each other for 10 years, we've talked about how we felt when you were 24, 34. Now, what would you like to say to your 43-year-old self?
To my 43-year-old self.
What would you like to say to your 43-year-old self? This is a nice little time capsule. We will keep this for you. And in 10 years, we will play this for 43-year-old Trevino.
I would tell 43-year-old Trevino, you've done a great job, but you could do better. You could do a lot better. Don't listen to them. Keep pushing. Make a stronger move.
Whoa.
Who's them? Candace and Kayla?
Yes. My family.
That's great.
That's perfect.
Well, we will be sure to play this to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
In 10 years.
I can't wait. Okay.
One of my favorite memories with you guys is there is a beer in Canada called Kokanee.
Yes.
And it's a very popular beer. And we were in the car driving and
Up to Whistler.
Up to Whistler. Yes. And someone said, hey, do you guys want some Kokanee? And I was like, oh.
Because the boys were in one car, yeah. The girls were in another.
But I remember thinking like, oh, it's going to be that kind of weekend? Wait, I'm a little, wait. And we thought that they meant Coke and E
as an ecstasy. Yes. We were like, oh my gosh.
Wait, I've never done this before. What's happening? Where are we going?
Why are they going into a gas station
to get
it?
Who said that? Who offered that?
The boys.
That wasn't me. Whoa, take it easy.
You guys were all going into a gas station to get beer.
Right.
And instead of saying beer, you said the brand, which was Coke and E.
Yeah.
And we were all sitting in the car like, oh my God. Like, guys, I don't know. What do you think? Yes. And then you guys came out with beer.
With beer called Coke and E.
Like, hey, you want a Coke and E? And then we were like, oh. Beer.
Right.
You know those Canadians with their loonies and toonies and the coconut.
I know. Well, and my husband's Canadian. Tanner's Canadian. And he dies every time I tell this story because he's like, I don't know why I've never put that together. It's just a brand that they have there that they, yeah, say so easily.
We were just in a cabin for Christmas, Joe and the kids. And we were all getting ready to go to the ski mountain. And Joe just like grabs a boot and goes, Whose boots are these? And I was like, Whose boots are these? And I was like, no one in this room understands what I'm doing.
And it just
I was
crazy.
Like, this is the one moment it came back organically.
Oh, man.
We were all in a cabin together and we had a night of writing songs and poetry together. And one of the songs was just like free singing. And we had David Anders. It was the first time we all really got to know him.
Yes.
And he just joined in. Yeah. He just joined in on the song and picked up a boot and just started singing along. Whose boots are these?
Whose boots are these?
Yeah. Do you remember the song he made up about Paul Wesley? It was just like, Paul Wesley.
I think it's a sensitive subject.
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. He just goes, Paul
Wesley, really fucking nice guy. Yeah, that was. There's a lot of gems. Yeah,
I know. I love it. It's crazy that it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you remember the theme song that I wrote for you?
The theme song?
Yeah, you had a theme song.
Whoa! Didn't we have a secret hand?
Clap.
We had a hand. Damn.
Yeah.
That's
right. You guys gonna do it right now? Your secret hand clap.
I can do it.
We'll do it for the Instagram.
Yeah, we'll do it. Okay. Yeah, I remember.
So check our Instagram today. It'll be on it. But
do you remember your theme song? Yes.
You want to sing it?
Like both of us at the same time?
Okay, ready? Please.
Oh, it's either going to be really good or really bad.
Okay, ready?
One, two, three.
Michael Trevino. Fuck yeah!
There you go. There it is.
That's it.
She would sing that. She would sing that before we started a scene, and then I would crush it.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's got to have a hype guy. Yeah. And that was me.
That was you, yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you do for her?
What did you do for Candace to hype her up?
We had our little high five.
Okay. Yeah, if I needed the juice,
we would, in unison. Yeah, yeah, we'll show it to you.
Okay. Yeah, you'll see it. Yeah. But yeah, it's important
to
have a theme song.
God. That's what season one on Roswell was missing. I needed this song. I didn't have a theme song this season.
Well, next time we hang out with your cast, yes. I can bestow the knowledge of this song. I can teach it to someone.
Yes.
So it's just there.
Janine Mason, yes.
I will teach it to Janine.
And we can keep this.
And pass it on to you.
Keep that flow moving, yes.
Yes.
Because that's powerful.
It is powerful.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been so powerful to have you here today.
It's been a pleasure. I'm really, really happy to be here. And
we've
this has
loved
been fun.
Every minute.
Was it as scary as you thought it would be?
No, more casual.
You are a little sweaty though.
I kind of forgot. Am I shiny right now?
Just a little.
Did I put too much moisturizer on right now?
It's okay. You've got baby skin.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah. No. This has been fun.
We love you.
Roswell is out on Tuesday nights on the CW.
Yes.
Right?
Tuesday nights at 9 p.m.
At 9 p.m. on the CW.
Check it out.
Our listeners can also find you at all your socials, which I'm going to let you say.
Which is at Michael Trevino on Instagram. And then I don't use Twitter often. I really need to be better at that. But that is at Michael_Trevino. There is no fuck yeah at the end of those. But I'm thinking about adding it at some point.
I love it. I think that's a great idea.
Perfect.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks to Trevino for finally coming on the podcast.
Yeah, Trevino.
Although he did admit that he bailed on us.
I appreciated that. I didn't think he was going to say it.
Me either.
I'm glad that he was like, okay, I just got to get it off my chest. Mm-hmm. Here's what happened.
So we asked him about his 10-year challenge. Candace, I'm going to ask you.
Oh,
what would you tell yourself 10 years from now?
Ooh, I will be 30. Oh, geez. Nope. I'm 10 years from now. That's 40. I'll be 41, almost 42. I will say, hold your babies tight. Just keep holding on to them so tight because they grow so fast. And those special moments, they're always special, even when it feels like, how can it get more special than this? It gets more special. Still have a lot of date nights and sexy time with my husband. And
babies, plural?
Yeah.
Do you have something you want to say?
No. My older babies, yeah, my stepdaughters. They're getting so big. And go on. I hope you're going on vacations. And just enjoy some of our advice that we actually had from a previous guest, from Ilse Juber. Enjoy the art.
Mm.
Enjoy the art. Enjoy the creative process. Because that's where the fire is and that's where the passion is. If I could ask myself a question in 10 years, like go to the future, I would ask,
what popped into my head was I would ask myself, what is the one thing I should be spending more time doing? And what is the one thing I should be less dedicated to doing?
Like, I feel like I have a pretty good work balance life. Like, I work, but I really do try to play and I really try to set aside a time for friends and especially for family. Like, family is my priority. And sometimes I get that feeling like, am I not putting enough emphasis on work? And obviously everyone always says, like, on your deathbed, are you going to be thinking about like all those hours you were working? Or are you going to think about like the time you're with your loved ones? So I think it's kind of that, like, as a working parent, sometimes it's that back and forth of like, well, but if I apply myself a little bit more over here, am I going to achieve these dreams or am I okay? Just like, is this okay?
So you'd want to know the perfect percentage of work-life balance.
Yes, that would be my casual question to my 42-year-old self.
I love it.
Just real simple, you know, a short one-word answer would suffice. Well, would you like tell your 43-year-old self?
What,
like,
would I tell myself?
Yeah.
To have more adventure in your life, more surprise, more events that give you chills, whatever that is. I don't know exactly what that is, but just something that doesn't make every day mundane. And if that means just getting in the car and driving and ending up somewhere, great. Just something just a little bit more exciting.
Are you craving that spontaneity right now?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's really funny. That was when Joe and I were talking about like goals and just kind of themes for 2019. That was a word that came up for us.
Spontaneity.
Yes.
Wow.
Because it's so easy to get in the routine of each day. And you're right. Just getting to the car and driving to the other side of the city. We live in a huge freaking city. That there's so much adventure that can be found there.
Yeah, that's enough of an adventure. But it's just convincing yourself to do it.
Do you think we will be drinking blueberry Stoli sodas in 10 years?
Absolutely not.
What do you think will be our drink of choice?
Well, right now it seems to be Negronis.
Negronis are like our good 30s cocktail. What do you think is going to be, like, do you think we're going to be in like martini land? Do you think we're going to like move into martinis?
Television show I've seen, most of the 40-year-olds, like Sex and the City women, are always go out for martinis. But
yeah, those Real Housewives are hitting those martinis hard.
Maybe we'll be really into wine and just sit and drink.
Do you think we'll be drinking a buttery Chardonnay?
No, I hope
like a
not.
Nice oaky Chardonnay.
Oh my god! I kind of hope we're still into tequila shots.
Yes, I love it. Well, there we go. That's a great advice for our 42, 43-year-old selves. More tequila shots.
Done.
Done.
We're gonna hold each other accountable.
I'll see you in 10 years, Kayla.
Sounds good.
Imagine Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.